Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Good morning, everyone. It is football Saturday, heading into a football Sunday, and then a football Monday. And that's what we love to talk about with you. Lots going on this weekend. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. My name is Bob Pompiani. We have a big show for you today. We have a lot of stuff going on. I want to hear from you. All your opinions, let us know what they are, because there's a lot going on. We're going to start by telling you that Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm that always says there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Ride in style. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank, make today the day, and check out Virtual Wallet. It's a game changer. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about at Iron Rock Tap House. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, you know them. They got your back, not your wallet. And Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call every single night of the week. Joel Nelson's behind the glass taking your calls. We have a lot of topics to get into. Of course, the Steelers and Browns will be topic number one, given the way the Steelers laid an egg. And that's being mild, I think, on what they did against San Francisco. I think most people got caught up in all the hype of the preseason and everything else, but you forget that San Francisco, I think if you know it, they're a tremendous football team. I don't think there's any question about that, and they show why they have so many dimensions on offense. People doubted Brock Purdy, should never have done that. The guy's a point guard. He's good at getting the ball around. There is no question about it. And they showed what they can do to scheme against a on paper, very good Steeler defense, but that defense allowed too many things. They were as guilty as this loss as the offense, in my view, and people put a lot of pressure on the offense. I get it. They didn't do anything, but the defense didn't do anything either in terms of stopping that team. Their first four possessions resulted in scores, all of them. So the bottom line here is they got a lot of work to do, and they take on a team in Cleveland, which is coming off a nice first game win against Cincinnati, and they limited somehow, some way, Joe Burrow to 82 yards. In one of the worst games you'd ever see Joe Burrow play. He just signed a big contract, $275 million, and that's what he ends up getting in his first day on the job. Cincinnati, as a result, Joel, is my pick of the week. They're gonna blow away, whatever the line is, I think it's three, they're going to blow away the Baltimore Ravens. That's the one I look at and say, that's if I'm going after a game and I'm going to load up on it, it'll be that game. As far as the Steelers are concerned, they're 2.5-point underdogs at home to a Cleveland team that can begin 2-0 for the first time since 1993. Deshaun Watson didn't look all that good in my view, although he was good enough to get the win, pass for 199 yards, or 154, total yards 199. But what they did in this game, and what Cleveland should continue to do, unless the Steelers prove they can stop it without Cam Hayward and without, you know, big-time players like Deontay Johnson, but specifically Hayward, is run the ball. You know, they got one of the best in the business of doing it. You saw Christian McCaffrey run for what he did last week. He's a different sort of runner. He's involved in all parts of their game. Nick Chubb is, by standards, just basically a runner and a very good one. He's averaged nearly 92, I think it's yards per game in his games against the Steelers, and he hasn't run the ball all that much. Last week, Cleveland ran the ball 40 times. They passed it only 29 times. That tells you what they are. And the Steelers will be tested because no Cam Hayward means other people have got to step up in this situation. Whether that's Braden Fajoco, who is a big man, should be able to do the job. To me, most eyes will go on Larry Ogunjobi. He only had two tackles last week, and he's always seemingly on the injury report with the same foot injury. He needs to be the guy to step up and have a big day against this Cleveland run game. We'll see how it goes, but that's one of the topics I want to get into you at 412-928-9370. Of course, the other one would be Pitt, West Virginia. We'll have a pregame show starting at 4:30 here. Paul Zeiss and Doran Dickerson will join me as Pitt tries to get back on the winning track after looking bad, I thought, against Cincinnati, which is a good team. But they fell behind, couldn't dig out. Phil Jurkovec did not look all that good. You can look at his stats and say three touchdowns, whatever. 10 of 32, very awkward line. They didn't run the ball at all. What happened to Rodney Hammond? I thought he was supposed to be a big part of this team, and yet not so much. Six rushes, that's it. You can't do that. That's a big part of their team. He should be a big part of the team. And I'd like to see them get back to that. We'll talk more about that as we go along. I'm having a hard time looking at Pitt and thinking Pitt's going to win this game. I think West Virginia's going to be amped up for it. They haven't played a home game against Pitt since 2011. Last year was a renewal of this rivalry, and Pitt won with two late big plays, including a Devonshire pick six. Prior to that, an Izzy Abanikanda 24-yard touchdown. West Virginia will be, I don't know what the word is. Amped is not a strong enough word, Joel. Give me a word that describes what West Virginia will be tonight in that stadium at Mylan Puskar Stadium, because it's going to be more than amped. Is there a word that's significant that can go higher than amped?
I'm not sure.
Amped? Well, triple
there's someone
amped.
There's one out there. I just can't think of it.
Triple amped, whatever the case may be. It'll be a good atmosphere for football, that is for sure. We'll get into that. I'm also watching all these pregame college football shows, whether it's Game Day or the one on Fox, and Deion Sanders, boy, what a thing he's accomplished in Boulder, Colorado. I don't think anyone could have looked at this and said he'd be 2-0 with two wins right off the bat, one of them against TCU at TCU, and doing it in a way that's brought so much attention to this team to the point where they're heavy favorites against Colorado State. And Jay Norvell, their head coach, made a comment about Deion Sanders that got him going. I don't understand the need to even poke the bear here. Why he did it about, hey, when I do interviews, I don't keep my hat on and my sunglasses. I take them off to look you eye to eye. Okay. Well, that seems to be like sort of a weird criticism of someone. He's had eye issues, whatever the case may be. You know Deion Sanders was doubling down on that and making his team aware of it. If you follow social media, you would have seen it. And now I would imagine Colorado not only is going to win that game, but they're going to try to take it to numbers probably never seen before in Colorado State. We'll see how that goes, but that's a primetime game for primetime tonight. Interesting, the Pac-12 has been dissolved to the Pac-2. Everybody's leaving. It's unbelievable, Joel, when you look at this situation, because they have all of these teams ranked in the top 25. Eight of their conference members are ranked in the top 25, and yet they're totally disbanded after this year. It could be the best conference going. In a Power 5, it's been totally destroyed by money. But that's how it goes in today's world. Money dictates, you got to follow the money, and that's what they all do. Even if it means cross-country games, even if it means making life miserable for the rest of your non-revenue sports, but that's what they do. Want to get into that. And I do want to get into the Pirates because the Yankees are in town. We don't get a chance to talk about it too much. I thought last night it was, as much as I really like Derek Shelton, I did not agree with Mitch Keller the other night being taken out after eight innings in which he had 90 pitches, I think. That's it. And he was cruising along, and they had to use Bednar, or chose to use Bednar, which made him unavailable last night, which was not necessary. And even if he's unavailable last night, these guys come in for one inning all the time. Majinski seemed to be on his game. Keep him in for the ninth. What's the harm there? Again, overmanaging sometimes. And he's not the only one guilty of it. A lot of people do. Pirates could have had a win against the Yankees, did not, and I thought that was a prime reason why. 412-928-9370 is the number. Let's get it rolling by going out to Mike in Uniontown, who's first. Mike, what is on your mind?
Hey, Bob. You know, your opening comment, you hit the nail on the head saying how bad Pittsburgh was. But you know what, Bob, what I'm thinking? I'm thinking they just had it, you know what, handed it in their hand, because they were just out. San Francisco's offense was just too much for them. I mean, you could put it on a defense if you want, and I'm sure you do, as I do. But what else do you think about just being over, just overtaken over? Thank you, Bob.
All right. Well, what I attribute it to is slow starts, which I thought would end this year. You know, the way Matt Canada's offense, Mike Tomlin's team start in games is bad. It's been bad for 2.5 years. They don't come out and put points on in the first quarter. You've got to take over games, get drives, get scores, touchdowns, bigger plays, chunk plays. But right off the bat, you know, you go to a jet sweep second play, it goes for nothing, and it sets up a third down, and there's a sack, and then they punt. And punt's bad, and the defense just gives up big play. So, you know, that's a terrible way to start. But this offense, I thought I'd see more of it. I realized they had limited snaps because they couldn't get a first down. But they got to show more, and they got to look to – like today without – or Monday without Deontay Johnson, I would go after George Pickens all the time. I would throw the ball in his direction. I want to see what two of their top corners will be able to do because they have really good corners in Denzel Ward and Greg Newsom. Now, you would expect those guys to win that matchup considering their resume versus second-year player in Pickens. But Pickens has a height advantage. I would go down the field. Good things happen when that happens. If you throw it in his vicinity, try to do something over the middle. Again, Freiermuth, they need more from him. They need more separation. And that's the one thing I haven't seen a lot of with some of this Steeler offensive, you know, especially wide receiver play. Not enough separation, but they got to scheme separation too. You got to scheme things that go on in Cleveland's, you know, middle of the defense into their secondary. Scheme what they do and scheme against it to make guys open. That's part of this whole problem is scheming, I think, and you haven't seen enough separation. You got to get that in this game. They can't afford to start badly. Cleveland comes in here, like I said, looking very good in their first game. I think they made Joe Burrow look bad, but Joe Burrow also just looked bad on his own. And they got some interesting things in their offensive backfield, too. You know, when you look at it, you got not only Nick Chubb, who is what he is, and Tomlin this week called him Mr. Chubb 3 or 4 times. Elijah Moore is one of these guys that they use him in a lot of different ways. They have a good tight end in David Njoku. Those inside linebackers, I didn't think Cole Holcomb had an especially strong game. They need to be better, too. We gave them a lot of praise for what they were doing in the preseason, but they have to do it in these sorts of games and limit plays in the middle of the field. 412-928-9370. Let's get out to Roland in Castle Shannon. Hey, Roland, how are you today?
Happy backyard brawl, Bob.
Well, it will be a very nice day for football in Morgantown, that's for sure.
Bob, I'm in a new 13-step Crowley Sox rehab program, and I'm currently on step 9, Crowley Sox. The thing is, the only thing I'm good at is trash talking. I'm a trash talk addict. And you're my hero, Bob.
Well, I don't normally engage in it, though, Roland. I try to stay away from that stuff. I think it's too easy to get into.
I know. You're class. You're class, and I'm total garbage.
No. What's on your mind, though?
No. Hey, Bob, you're my hero. I will never work as hard as you, be as smart as you, or super cool as you, and your whole family. Your whole family's super cool.
Well, I'll take that compliment. Thank you, because I think they are,
too. All right. In step 9, Crowley Sucks, I started writing a song as part of my therapy. It's about my hero, Bob Pompiani.
Roland, we don't have time for this.
No, quick. Here it is. 2320 Pit. Here's my song. I need you to finish it when I hang up. Bob Pompiani. Can you help me with my therapy, my trash talk addiction? Thank you, Bob. I love you.
All right, Roland. No, my answer is no. I'm not good at it, and I don't want to engage in it. So 2320, that's his prediction. It'll be a tight game. I don't think there's any question. I agree with you there, Roland. So let's move on. One more call here, Joe, before we go to break. That would be Nick in Shadyside. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Bob?
How are you?
I'm doing well. Anyways, there was an article that Ray Fittipaldo wrote before the season. It was about number of guys that we drafted still left on the roster at each position. And I think we only had one at middle linebacker and only one or two at the defensive backs. And I think that is why our defense is struggling right now, because we haven't drafted well at some of these positions, and we've been going out getting some flashier guys and maybe not building out the team the way that we need to. And instead, each year, we try to bring in these guys.
What are you talking about? Give me specifics. What position are you talking about?
The defensive backs and the middle linebackers. So we haven't been able to draft well at those positions, so we bring in guys to fill in the gaps with the free agents, and they stink.
Well, I think there's still a lot. We only saw one game of this group, but you're right. They've been chasing it ever since Shazier, and all the people they've brought in have not gotten it done. You know, whether it's Joe Schobert, Bostic, you know, you can go from last year when they brought in Miles Jack, and they have all these people, and they seem to not get the kind of production they need. And so, yeah, you keep chasing it. And this year, they drafted Mark Robinson last year, but not anybody this year. And it's all, you know, it's all free agent guys. I'm not willing to say, though, they're not going to be better. And I think hopefully a lot better than what we saw last year, which doesn't say much, I guess.
Mark, I have one quick question. Do you think we'd be better off with Terrell Edmunds at safety?
I don't think safety. Well, listen, I wanted him to sign back. I thought for $2 million, he was a good player. He complimented Minka very well. So that was my choice then. They went away from it. We'll see. We got to let it play out a little bit, Nick. I just think it's too early to make judgments on one game. That one game was a complete dud in every possible way. So, you know, how they respond coming up. I'm going to throw a couple of stats at you. Thanks, Nick, for the call.
Thank you.
And they go against each other. Number one, Mike Tomlin in games where his team has lost by 20 points the following week, he's 10-2. Okay, that sounds good. But here's one that doesn't. San Francisco, after they beat someone, the team they beat loses 15 straight games. The next week, whoever lost to San Francisco loses again. So you go figure out what that means. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We have a lot more going on until 1 o'clock today, so call and talk about whatever you want to talk about. There's a lot of good topics, as I said, from Pitt, West Virginia, to Holderman Bednar, to Colorado. Do you believe that Deion Sanders is going to be capable to keep this up the whole season? Another one, Aaron Rodgers' injury. People in New York are freaking out. Why not just go to Zach Wilson? He's a second overall pick. I don't understand why everyone's looking all over the place for these reclamation guys who've had retirement on their mind. No, stick to that dude. Give it to him. Believe in him and see what happens. NFLPA unhappy with the fact that Rodgers got injured. Okay, they're making it a grass issue. Is that relevant? Do you think it's because of it? Because there was another ACL injury that happened this first week as well, and it took place on natural grass. What is the remedy there? 412-928-9370. We'll get into all of that. It's a beautiful day for a football Saturday here in Pittsburgh, and it will be down in Morgantown, West Virginia tonight. Last year, Pitt wins with two big plays late in the game after West Virginia had the lead midway through the fourth quarter. They're looking for revenge, and this may be their Super Bowl, the way their season is going and the way they expect it to be. So the bottom line is Pitt's got to come out and try to silence that crowd, hurry. And you know that Phil Jurkovec, doing what he did last week and taking on fans for booing, is going to be a big topic. I was a little surprised the insensitivity that he showed there. You know, listen, he's a six-year guy. Come on. If they boo, they boo. Ignore it. Don't comment on it. Don't make it worse. He made it worse. And I have a feeling that's not going to go away anytime soon. And he needs to be much better than he was. Frank Cignetti needs to run the ball more, in my opinion. And if they do that, they should have a chance against this team. But they have a pretty good run game in Morgantown. And I would imagine that's going to be their basic goal here, is to run the football with what they got. They got three good players on their offensive line. Two of them should be in the NFL in future years. We'll see what Pitt's defense can do against that. In the meantime, we're talking Steelers-Browns, and another game that I want to get into is Bengals and Ravens. Baltimore comes into that one. They'll be at Cincinnati. You know Cincinnati cannot be happy with what happened last week, losing convincingly to Cleveland, only getting 3 points in the process. Baltimore is a team that's banged up big time. And we'll see what Lamar Jackson can do against a pretty good Cincinnati defense, and I would imagine they're going to be up and ready for this game. Mark Andrews should make his debut. He missed last week, and that's a big target for Lamar Jackson. Justice Hill has been running the ball now that Dobbins is out for the year again. Zay Flowers is really good. And Odell Beckham Jr., I'm not sure what he is. But if he's a complimentary guy, it will help them for sure. But they need to win the game to Cincinnati, and that's why I like Cincinnati to win this game rather easily. 412-928-9370, let's go out to the title man in Harrison City. Hey, title man, how are you?
I'm fine, Bob. My concern, and yeah, Phil is going to have to, he has to deal with the, I mean, in Pittsburgh, you know, I've been a season ticket holder a long time. Pittsburgh, at Pitt Stadium, Danny was booed. People might not believe that. So, you know, it comes with the territory. Personally, I don't like it. He's still a college kid. But my concern here is we lose this one tonight. I mean, it's the middle of September, and I'm talking about a must-win game. But the fact of the matter is we lose this one, and we got Drake May coming in with North Carolina next week, and that's a high-powered offense. I'm afraid that things, the wheels could fall off before we even know what hit us, which brings me to a point that I really dislike about what the way Pitt schedules out of conference. It's stupid, Bob, and I know people will tell you, oh, you got to play this game. You don't have to play every game. And you look at the teams in our conference and how they schedule out of conference, and it's an eye-opener. So, hey, listen, Phil's got to have a big game, because if he doesn't, like I said, they could be going down to Va Tech 1-3.
Thanks, Dido Man. I think these are two critical games. There's no question about that. North Carolina was not as good as I thought they were when I watched them last week, but they're, you know, Drake May is certainly capable of carving up teams. Let's go out to Justin in downtown. Justin, welcome to the program. What's going on?
Hey, Bob. I got something really quick about this. You know, one of the things that I'm seeing after I go back and I watch that the game is Cleveland and Cincy. Joe Burrow is injured. He can't put any weight onto that left leg. And either he can't push with the right leg, and, you know, transfer to his left leg, he can't stand on his left leg. It's one of the two. And so I'm surprised not more people are talking about this, but it's glaring to me that he's not hurt, that he's actually injured.
Well, he had a calf injury. He didn't do anything in the preseason. They say he's fine. He says he's fine. So I don't know if he's fine. Then that was a horrendous performance and a waste of $275 million. Kidding, yeah. But you know what I'm saying. That's the last kind of performance you want to show after you just ink a $275 million deal. So I expect him to come out and throw the ball all over the place against the Ravens, who have some injuries in their defense now. So I would expect that to happen, and I would look for him to go over 259, which is what the line is on his yardage. And I expect a huge response by Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And if they don't, and if he still struggles, then there's going to be some validity to what you say. So, right. You know, and sometimes they don't reveal injuries to you. And you have to guess, is it performance? But if they say they're healthy, then judge them accordingly. They're healthy.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And even going back to, you know, what you were saying about them not possibly wanting to reveal injuries because they're just not going to do that unless they have to. I would encourage you, if you can, if you get any time, to go back and watch that game, because the pass rush of the Cleveland Browns was there. He was rolling a lot. He was moving. But there were some throws in the corners where he could have read receivers and Jamar Chase and Hickett. He was, his timing was either off or he was putting too much air under the ball trying to overcompensate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched the game. I agree with you, Justin. I don't know what the reason was, and thanks for the call. I think that's exactly what happened in that game. And for them, that's got to change. But as far as the Steelers are concerned, a lot of people still want to get on play calling, Matt Canada, whatever, and that's fine. There's a lot to criticize there. But I also thought that Kenny Pickett was as indecisive, uncomfortable as I've seen him since he took over the starting job. And I didn't expect that in that first game. He had two guys, same draft year, one a first-round pick, one a seventh-round pick. And people wanted to get on Brock Purdy. They thought he was a systems quarterback. That's fine. Systems help. You know, a system like that would certainly help Kenny Pickett. You need systems. You need the scheme. They do it well. But you also have to have the ability to basically run that system. And Brock Purdy knows how to run it. And when plays do break down, he can make you look bad. And he did three times against the Steelers. Once on the blitz to Minka Fitzpatrick, who had him dead to rights, and he spun away from him, made a big game. Another word where they had pressure, he stepped up very poised in the pocket, waited for a receiver. It was Ayuk to get open. Boy, did he have a big game. 8 for 8 for 129, player of the week in the NFC. But he's more than just a systems quarterback. And I think they got a gem. As bad as the Trey Lance pick was for them, and they should be ripped for that, this was as good as this pick was for John Lynch. 412-928-9370. We're going out to Joe in Squirrel Hill, who joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Yeah, Bob, if you look at the jet sweep again, Pat Freiermuth completely whiffed on his block, and the guy was basically on top of Calvin Austin before he had a chance to do anything. Austin has looked really good in space. I think he was able to get back to the line of scrimmage, but I think if that play goes for like five, even just for like 5 or 6 yards, no one's complaining about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. San Francisco did the same exact thing on their second play of the game. They ran it that way with Deebo Samuel, but they executed it better, too.
Well, the Steelers could have played maybe Darnell Washington on that play, and he'd have come up with a better block. But basically, and I think Freiermuth's a great player, but he didn't even touch his guy. His guy was, like, in free on Austin immediately. So I just think that the snowball started rolling down the hill at that point. They were never able to stop it.
Yeah, and they got to figure it out this week for sure. They need a fast start. They need to get out on top of this team and then tee off on Deshaun Watson. And what they need to do is attack a rookie tackle who's going to be in there because Jack Conklin is out for the year. Not that the Steelers have seen a lot of Jack Conklin over the years. He's had an injury history. But he's their main man. They signed him for $60 million this past offseason. Now he's gone. And so DeJuan Jones, who's 6'8", 6 million pounds. I have no idea what he weighs, Joel. But he's a big human being. However, he also made a little comment that seemed to be, and it's a fine comment. If you're one of these players internally and you see how players maybe give away, he claims TJ Watt opens up his chest when he's about to rush the passer, when he knows he's coming after him. I'm sure everybody has some little thing that they do, but he didn't need to say it. And not that TJ Watt needs to be stoked to play a game of this magnitude on a Monday night, but more, I would make sure that dude has some help over there if I'm Kevin Stefanski, because I think he opened up, and again, everything in social media is out there. People know it. You see what happened in Colorado with the Jane Norvell, the Colorado State coach. When he went, a comment like that, all of a sudden, just runs through the locker room, the entire Colorado Buffalo fan base, and in that game tonight. It's just not necessary. It's not necessary to make comments like that, even if you know that's what it is. Don't give away your, quote, tales the way he just did, and the way Patrick Peterson did last week. I didn't see anything that he said that came true. 412-928-9370. We're due for a break. We'll take it right now. Want to remind you that our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day at PNC Bank. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, a great place to watch sports. Great brunches there. They got it all at Iron Rock Tap House. And number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with ExpressWayCochran.com and watch the number one Cochran Sports Showdown every Sunday night, KDK TV, 11:35 or after the late news. One other thing, the best place to hear about everything black and gold football before every home game is Black and Gold Game Day, 93.7 The Fan, presented by CGR Wholesale Roofing and Siding Supply Center. 3 hours before every home game, got you covered with all you need to know from around the league and the black and gold live from Rivers Casino Sportsbook, brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture and Saloni's Italian Bread. I'm Bob Pompeiani. More calls on the way. KP, Kevin, Dave, keep them coming right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. 412-928-9370. That is the number of the fan hotline. Call it. Let's talk. We got a lot of people online right now, so get to them. Little rapid fire. Kevin in Greenfield. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Bob. How you doing today?
Just great. How are you?
Good, good. I was wondering if you talked about the Pirate game last night, that ninth inning. I'm so frustrated, you know.
Well, I, first of all, would not have used Bednar the day before. When I was watching, I'm thinking to myself, come on. Keller's at 90 pitches or 89, whatever he was. It was not.
Yeah.
And he was through eight innings. And he was cruising. Complete game, let him out there. You would have saved Bednar, who was not available last night, which trickled down, had a different effect on who they used. And so they go with Holderman, even though Majinski looked pretty good in the eighth inning. Again, this whole idea that it has to be one inning for most of these relievers, to me, if I go by feel, too. I look, I see that guy's dealing. I'm not going to take him out unless he tells me he's tired or something.
Yeah. That seems to be a mistake. The same thing about the night before, like you said. But last night, it seems like the manager is just sitting there. You're winning 7-5 against the Yankees in ninth innings coming up. Make your defensive switch. That's why he had the guy, Williams, he can't hit, but he can come in the ninth inning. Then you put Peguero at second base. You put Bay in the outfield. You improve the outfield defense. You're winning by two runs. I mean, to me, it's just like it's an omission. Why would you not do that?
Well, and thanks for the call, Kevin. Even though, I mean, these games are fairly irrelevant, they had been on a nice little run here over the past 45 to 50 games. And they had an opportunity last night to take that a little deeper and, you know, put themselves in a better position in a close game, and they didn't. And I say that because it was a big night. It was a Roberto Clemente night. A lot of people were there. Bednar was your Roberto Clemente recipient, and he wasn't available. And I get it. You can't manage based on what night's coming up. But at the same time, if Mitch Keller had been at 120 pitches through eight innings, okay, I get it. But pitch counts frustrate me, to be honest. I'm not a big pitch count fan because it seems like it extends into everybody, not just people coming from injury, but everybody. And there are times it's not necessary. It's overreacting, I think. KP in the North Side joins us right now. Hey, KP, how are you?
How you doing, Bob? Doing great. Can't complain.
What's up?
I just wanted to pretty much just like kind of vent to you guys regarding my feelings on the Steelers. I took my girlfriend to our first Steeler game week one. We were very excited, you know, great experience. So we thought. My question to you is, what happens if we continue on a downward spiral for the remainder of the season and we finish below 500 and we pick in the earlier half of the first round? What moves are we to make? Do we replace Kenny Pickett? Do we replace Mike Tomlin? Like, what's the...
Well, I think number one,
that happens?
You know, I would say, sorry you made a bad choice on your first game, but I hope you still enjoyed it because it's always fun to get involved in these games. But I would think it starts with Matt Canada. This is his final year of a contract. It starts with him. How, you know, they've yet to put a 400-yard offensive game together for Matt Canada. I think he has a really good offensive mind, but we haven't seen that in terms of using as many parts of his playbook that he has in there. The problem is they didn't have enough people, I thought, the last couple of years. There is no excuse. They have people this year, you would think. They improved their offensive line. Kenny Pickett needs to take a step. Now, this is an interesting problem. If he continues to spiral in the wrong direction, how short of a leash does he have? I hope this doesn't happen, and I don't even want to engage in this because it hasn't happened yet. But the point is, KP, this game is a big one. You don't want to start 0-2 with two losses at home. We'll see how it transpires, and then you work accordingly. But they got to win this game, and thank you for the call. Real quick, let's go out to Matt in North Carolina who joins us here. Matt, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? The word for West Virginia fans down there that you're looking for is they're going to be rapacious. That's the word.
Rapacious.
Yes.
Okay.
And with respect to the Steelers, I don't know why we all were so hyped up, even during the preseason, because he beat a Falcons team that was third string, even though he had a very good passer rating. And Matt Canada's playbook has not changed. So I don't understand.
Well, it should change, and he has the weapons to make it change, and you know, but you got to get first downs too. You know, I'm not going to look at this and say this was Matt Canada's fault exclusively. I think Kenny Pickett was bad. I think he has to be much better than what he showed in that game. And the difference was, Matt, in preseason there was no pressure. You're right. They're going against guys who weren't even going to be around. But still, it was encouraging because his passes were on target, beautifully thrown. Even the one that Pickens in Atlanta was up there. He put it right where he had to. I don't care who's covering that play. The first, second, third string, the coverage was good. So I think that's why people forgot how good San Francisco was, though. People forget how good this scheming plan they have on offense is, and it makes it difficult
on
other defensive.
They're very good. Do you think that it's also our offensive line is that bad?
Well, it was bad in week one, and that leads us to another question. Matt, thank you for the call. I'm up against it here. What happens now? Because it looks like Chukwuma Okorafor has the concussion. I don't know where he is right now. He has an extra day. But if he can't play, they've been putting Broderick Jones on that side and keeping Dan Moore at left tackle. So I always thought Broderick Jones was going to be the left tackle of the future. He still very well could be, but apparently he's better suited to play right tackle. However, in training camp, they used Dan Moore a lot at right tackle to try. Maybe they discovered that he wasn't doing what he needed to do. Real quick, Dave in North Huntington, Joel, he's been waiting for some time, so I'm going to get him on before he waits too long. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Hey, you know, I'm going to Pitt because I'm a season ticket holder, Harold Pitt and all that, but you know, Slovis complaining about the booze. It really
not Slovis, jerk over.
You know, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
That's
so,
all right.
You know, I'm at the game. We weren't booing until, you know, multiple times. He looked horrible. And I'm afraid with Pat, you know, like he did last year, he's going to stick with him throughout the year no matter how bad he plays. Hopefully he improves, but I'm not too optimistic about it based on his previous histories. There's a reason he jumped from team to team and never really had much success. So,
well, the other thing is they got to run the ball a little bit. West Virginia's going to give him a heavy dose of running. They need to respond in kind. And they have a guy who's good at doing it in Ronnie Hammond. They can't just not give him the ball.
in the last few years, I don't understand why he doesn't use Hammond more to begin with. I mean, Hammond's strong, and it seems like there's always a reason. He's never getting very many carries.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
So I'm with you.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Bob. Appreciate it. We have another Dave on the line. Hang on, Dave. We'll get to you when we come back. It's 412-928-9370 here on a football weekend, a beautiful weekend for anything, really, that you're doing. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. September is trunk month, and Sun Chevy, you can come see their ton and three-quarter ton Silverados. They're available right now. You could visit sunchevy.com. So today, I don't need to tell you, look outside. That's your weather. Look outside. It's beautiful, and it will continue tomorrow as well. Temperatures very manageable and very much early fall-like temperatures. That's your fan weather. We'll come back with hour number two, 412-928-9370. Want to hear from you about the Steelers, about Cleveland. What do you like? Pitt, West Virginia. How big is this game for Pitt versus how big is it for West Virginia? And if you're, how would you rather have a win against West Virginia and maybe lose to some conference games? What's more important to you? Because a lot of people have this take. 412-928-9370. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.